This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, January 25th, 2013. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Support for KUAF comes from Eureka Springs, celebrating fun in February with Mardi Gras parades, jazz events, costume balls, and a special art exhibit. More information, including a vacation planner and newsletter registration, available on the web at eurekasprings.org.
Ahead on Ozarks, the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank could earn a major donation if enough people make a click on a webpage. We also continue our coverage of the 89th General Assembly as Representative Charlie Collins of Fayetteville talks tax policy with Roby Brock.
And the 28th season for Rogers Little Theater has been announced. Becca Martin Brown says it includes flying monkeys, a dinner guest with no intention of leaving, and the French Revolution. We'll have the details later.
First, Republicans in the Arkansas legislature are still floating the possibility of a partial Medicaid expansion, even though federal officials have said no to that idea. GOP Senator Jonathan Dismaing of BB says there is no way he could support a full expansion of Medicaid under the federal health care law. In an interview with Talk Business, Dismaing says he wants a long-term policy solution, but is not sure whether lawmakers are reaching a consensus yet.
Everyone is still trying to wrap their heads around what we're looking at and trying to make sure that we're working from a correct set of numbers and actually have everything on the table. And there's just, it's a very complicated law, the Affordable Care Act is. And once you start peeling, you know, back on that onion, it's just amazing the more and more you find in that law. I mean, it contradicts itself in different places.
Dismaing says it's doable to use surplus funds to close an over $50 million Medicaid shortfall in the state.
Arkansas House Revenue and Tax Committee Chair Charlie Collins, a Republican from Fayetteville, says he wants to have communication between the House, Senate, and the governor on any tax reforms that might see a vote this session. In an interview with Talk Business Arkansas, Collins says he wants to see income tax cuts happen across all income levels, and that will take legislative cooperation.
We need to dramatically lower the burden on the lowest income workers, more modestly lower the burden on middle income workers, and then slightly lower the burden on the highest income workers and job creators. So in summary, it's lower income taxes for all, but skewing the reductions to be greater at the lower ends.
About half of the state's general revenue comes from income taxes, but Collins says these reductions would be possible in increments and by reducing growth in the state budget. We'll have more from that conversation later on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
A piece of land in southeast Fayetteville that was once deemed dangerous now has a clean bill of health from the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality. Yesterday, the department issued a certificate of completion to the city for cleanup of the former R&P electroplating site on Pump Station Road. The cleanup of the former chromium metal plating operation involved dismantling buildings, demolition of building slabs and sumps, and the removal of scrap equipment and contaminated soils. Hazardous substances removed from the facility include cyanides, acid plating solutions, and various solvents, acids, spent solutions, and sludge. But now that the cleanup is complete, the 5.7-acre property is in the hands of Fayetteville's Parks and Recreation Department. Connie Edmonston is the city's Parks and Recreation Director.
Our future plans are to make a trail corridor out of it. It connects 40 acres with White River Baseball Complex to Combs Park that contains 80 acres. So it will make a 135-acre corridor for trail, I guess, along the White River for people to enjoy. And we also are looking at the open field, make it into a multi-purpose field to be used for ultimate frisbee, maybe extra baseball, softball practice, soccer practice, or whatever. And maybe someday putting in some picnic tables, some benches, and a pavilion.
Edmonston says the city has been looking to acquire the property for a while, noting that part of the original R&P site is already part of White River Park.
Part of the first baseline of field number 2 baseball field there at White River was owned by R&P. And so we've kind of looked at that for a while. When ADEQ came in, they spent over $2.5 million cleaning up the old R&P electroplating site. They talked to the city, you know, if we would be interested in the property, if they got it all cleaned up and monitored it and everything. And we said, yes, we would.
The cleanup of the property took place during 2010, and the site is the 30th to be cleaned up under the Arkansas Brownfields Program. Edmonston says last April, the Arkansas Land Commissioner donated the land to the city.
Meanwhile, the city of Fayetteville is helping some city residents save money on their energy bills. The city's Community Services Division is providing about 1,500 weatherization kits to city residents. Kyle Belt is the division's redevelopment officer. And while he says there is no way to quantify the amount of savings the kits will bring to homeowners, he says the weatherization kits include a variety of supplies for reducing homeowners' energy use.
Each weatherization kit includes three CFL light bulbs, which is compact fluorescent, a standard faucet aerator, a swivel faucet aerator, a water and energy efficient showerhead, an indoor window insulating kit, a triple sealed door sweep, two packs of weather stripping, two tubes of caulk, including a caulk gun, a hot water gauge card, a refrigerator thermometer, a wall plate thermometer, and a switch and outlet sealer kit.
The city's Community Development Block Grant funding for 2012 allowed the city to purchase the kits, which means the program is only open to certain residents.
It's an income-based qualification, which is according to HUD. The 2013 guidelines were just released, and I believe it's for a one-person household, it would be $31,750. It has to be less than that.
If you think you might qualify for one of the weatherization kits, you can stop by the city's Community Services Division at 125 West Mountain.
A new endowment has been established to benefit some University of Arkansas students. According to the university, the Dallas chapter of the Arkansas Alumni Association pledged $2,500 per year for 5 years to be awarded to students with a permanent residence in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area. In addition to the chapter's gift, the Chancellor's Chapter Scholarship Challenge Fund will match the chapter's gift with an additional $2,500 over the same 5 years. The alumni chapter's gift is in addition to the $6,000 in scholarships awarded annually by the Dallas chapter.
Although the first pitch of the college baseball season has yet to be thrown, the Razorback baseball team continues to receive substantial praise from the sporting press. Yesterday, the Diamond Hogs were ranked number one in USA Today's coaches poll. Other SEC teams in the poll's top 10 spots were LSU ranked third, South Carolina fifth, Vanderbilt eighth. USA Today wasn't the only publication to rank the Razorbacks yesterday. Baseball America also released its preseason poll, placing the Hogs third behind North Carolina and Vanderbilt. The Baseball America poll also included Mississippi State 5th, South Carolina 7th, and LSU 10th. With the new polls released yesterday, the Diamond Hogs have been ranked in the top three in four separate preseason polls.
Tonight throughout the listening area, expect partly cloudy conditions with lows from 25 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 32 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, expect mostly sunny skies with highs around 55. And tomorrow night, expect cloudy conditions with a 50% chance of rain and a low of 37 in northwest Arkansas. Expect cloudy conditions with a 40% chance of rain and a low of 39 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of the CityWire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire KUAF listening area. Michael, it is the final Friday in January. Can you believe it?
Good grief. Well, I hadn't thought of it like that, but wow.
Happy to help you realize your mortality just a little bit on this Friday morning.
Thank you. Well, it's just another day closer to another disappointing Dallas Cowboy football season.
Well, this week, the Arkansas Home Sales Report was published on thecitywire.com, and it shows some improvement in the real estate market, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And for those who are looking for good economic news for the overall statewide economy, this is definitely a good sign. Now, 2.07% may not sound like much for home sale increases in those four large metro markets, but the combined sales values was up 11%, and that shows price stability, price recovery, and on an increase of 2% in home sales, the value is up 11%. And again, just as a reminder, Kyle, we look at the 14 most populated counties in Arkansas. It may not sound like much since there are 75 counties total, but it represents about 75% of total home sales in the state. So we think it's a clear indication of where the market is. Now, for folks in the Fort Smith metro area and the Jonesboro metro area, the news is not as polished, so to speak, but it's not that bad either. Their home sales are down a little bit compared to last year.
The number of sales.
Right, the number of sales. Now, the price, the overall value is up in all four of the markets. But in Jonesboro, for example, they had 1,745 home sales in 2012, and they had just 10 more last year. In the Fort Smith area, they had roughly 68 fewer home sales than in 2011, out of over 1,600 home sales. So, you always want to see an increase, but it wasn't. You know, we're not seeing those double-digit declines in numbers and in sales in the markets.
January sales tax numbers out, and for the four biggest towns in northwest Arkansas, more good news, and Bentonville continues to feel that Crystal Bridges effect.
Right, and Crystal Bridges, and I'm one of those believers, we can't quantify it yet, but we're working on it. I think Crystal Bridges and obviously the suppliers, I think it's kind of creating its own momentum, especially what we're seeing in the downtown area on the Bentonville Square. But yes, it's just growing leaps and bounds. I mean, January revenue in Bentonville is up 28%. And for the year, I think they led. Collections in Bentonville for the year were up over 13%. I mean, that's just to have a double-digit sales tax increase during this period when the consumer is supposed to be pulling back, that's just remarkable and shows the strength of that area. Springdale and Fayetteville, I was going to say Washington County had a healthy increases also.
It appears that 2012 was a pretty good year for J.B. Hunt.
Yeah, this is just amazing. Again, I've said it before, but if you were to look at J.B. Hunt's financials for the past 3 or 4 years, and that's the only information you had, and then you were asked, is the U.S. economy booming or is it, flat or is it in a recession? You'd say, well, the U.S. economy is obviously booming. But that's not the case. But J.B. Hunt is doing well, and it's just another sign that they've truly morphed into this. We get your stuff from point A to point B, however you want it gotten there. And I know that English teachers all over the cringed, but... Yes, they're doing well. They're $83.9 million in the fourth quarter, up 15%. That's almost like a Bentonville number. When the rest of the trucking industry is not doing that well, they're improving and they're getting better, but they're not doing that well. But, you have a company with their intermodal, their dedicated services, their brokerage, and their trucking company. In fact, their trucking side of the segment was down 12%. So their original, the company that got them started, is down, and their other forms of logistics services and shipping services are up. It's a healthy increase.
Well, and many lay people still think of them as J.B. Hunt Trucking and think that's what they do. They have trucks on the road. But I guess the lesson here is you have to diversify.
Well, they're putting stuff on rail and ships and, handling cargo and on intermodal containers out of ports. They're handling shipping for other folks, some companies who don't want to invest in their own fleet, well, J.B. Hunt will provide a dedicated fleet services for you. It's just across the board. They've figured out, or maybe not completely, but they're one of the best in figuring out the shipping, the one-stop shop shipping process.
Finally, a question this week about whether people who have licenses to carry concealed weapons should be allowed to take those inside city parks in Fort Smith.
Right, and it's, Arkansas carry, one of the reasons we're watching Fort Smith, obviously we're here, but this could set a precedent for around the state. Arkansas carry, which has pressured cities like Conway and Russellville and even Sebastian County to change their rules concerning handgun or firearms in public areas, now they're challenging the city of Fort Smith, which has a no firearms policy in its parks. No matter if you have a concealed weapons license, there's no firearms allowed. And Arkansas Carry, it's a gun rights advocacy group, is challenging the city. And interestingly enough, one of the newest board members, Keith Law, said, look, this shouldn't be a Fort Smith board decision. Let's get the legal folks, courts, whatever, let them make the decision. This isn't a city decision. So we'll see whether it ends up being adjudicated at the board of directors or out for possibly in a more appropriate arena.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the CityWire.com that covers politics, business, culture, and more for the entire listening area. Enjoy the rest of your day, Michael.
I will do. I will enjoy the rest of the wet day.
There you go. Thanks.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, we have new music from Robin Ford and Bex Marshall. Also music from Brick Fields, Trampled Underfoot, Willie Buck, and a few others. Tune in, join the fun. That's Friday night at 9 o'clock, the Generic Blues Show on KUEF. We'll see you then.
In November and December, there are scores of food drives to help food banks like the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank. Traditionally, though, collections and donations drop off after the holidays, even if the need for the food bank services don't. This year, the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank is trying to combat that phenomenon with reminders at many grocery stores connected to that big football game next weekend. And a national promotion could mean a large financial boost as well.
Yesterday, Melissa Vest, the director of development at the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about the winter efforts for the facility located in Bethel Heights.
I began the conversation by asking her about the common drop-off in donations in the first months of a new year.
We definitely see that during the early winter months, January and February, because people just aren't thinking about hunger as much. You think about it at Thanksgiving and Christmas because you're gathering around with your family to eat meals, and so it's kind of on your mind. But definitely right now is a lot slower for most food banks. But
it's not slower for hunger.
Right, exactly. People are hungry all year round. We actually see a lot of times that people don't think to necessarily donate throughout the year, but that even in the summer when kids are out of school, that's one of the times when we really need the help because those kids aren't receiving the school lunches. So hunger's there all year round, definitely.
I know that a statistic I have seen is that approximately one in five people in what's considered the Northwest Arkansas region experience hunger issues.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We actually have pretty high rates of hunger here in Northwest Arkansas. And the state of Arkansas as a whole is one of the highest rates of food insecurity in the nation. So Northwest Arkansas, Benton, and Washington counties have some of the highest rates of food insecurity in the whole state.
And not just highest numbers because we have population, but one of the mm-hmm. highest percentages.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. One in five, that's where they're at right now when they've done the studies, is that it's one in five people face food insecurity every week here.
You have a couple of things happening right now to keep the profile of the food bank and keep people thinking about the need in this area. One is in conjunction with the Super Bowl. A lot of people going into stores and buying snacks for their Super Bowl parties.
Yes. We actually thought of that this year as something to maybe start annually because it's a time for us, like you said, when people aren't necessarily donating as much. But they've shown that the Super Bowl is actually the second-ranked holiday for eating next to Thanksgiving. So we're all consuming a lot of food, but we're not necessarily donating at the same time. So we've placed bins at all of the Walmart, Supercenters, and neighborhood markets in all of Northwest Arkansas so people can go in, get their Super Bowl party food, and maybe purchase something else for someone in need and drop it in those bins.
Do you see the bins as you walk in?
Yes.
So you're thinking about it as soon as you're going down the aisles?
Yes. And all of those bins are right up front, and they have a sign on them that says the Tackle Hunger Super Bowl Food Drive. So people can walk in, see it, and it'll be on their minds, hopefully.
Non-perishables?
Yes, sir. Anything that you can think of that people would need, like canned soup, canned vegetables, cereal, boxed meals, all of those are in high demand.
Are you thinking about the excuse me? Are you thinking about the paper goods as well?
Actually do take paper goods at the food bank. If you're making a personal donation, we also take frozen food and produce as well. But as for these bins, non-perishable is perfect.
Also right now, a chance to – there's this voting situation going on. It's a collaboration with the head basketball coach at the University of Arkansas, Mike Anderson. It could mean $100,000?
Yeah.
How does this work?
Yeah, it's called the ESPN Infinity Coaches Challenge. And basically all people have to do is go to the website, which is www.espn.com/infinity, and you just vote for Coach Anderson on there. You can vote every single day for the next 6 weeks, and the coach with the most votes wins, and that coach gets to give $100,000 to the charity of his choice and or her choice, mm-hmm. and Coach Anderson has chosen us this year, so we're really honored and excited, and we'd love to have people go online and help out and vote.
What would $100,000 mean?
Oh, gosh. $100,000 would go so far at the food bank. We at the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank can provide 5 meals for every dollar that's donated. So
Half a million meals?
Yes, that would be 500,000 meals for people in Northwest Arkansas. And actually, that means so much because our service count goes up every single year, and we're at over 450,000 as our service count because we work with over 170 different agencies in the area to distribute that food, and the need just keeps going up. So 500,000 meals would definitely go a long way.
So about 450,000 annually, mm-hmm. services. So you're talking about a year's worth.
Yep.
If you take in growth over the next couple of years, but that would be...
It would definitely go a long way. We spend about, it'd be a portion of what we spend on food every year. We spend close to $500,000 on food purchase a year. So that service count is individual. So if you're talking meals
sure.
per individual, then the $100,000 would go a long way to that food purchase every year.
All people have to do is go to that website and just click on something?
Yes. You basically just click on the website, go to the South region, and then Coach Anderson's listed first. So just click
because
next
they're alphabetical.
Yes.
There you go.
And click next to his name, and it just takes you right through the steps to vote, and you can go on every single day. Makes it real easy.
Do you get any kind of update or standings to know how you're doing?
Yes, it's really cool. Right below it, they put the percentage that he's ranked next to all the other coaches, so you can kind of see in real time how we're doing. So we definitely have a ways to go, and we're excited. We hope that people start really getting involved in voting online. So
okay, well, can we put a link on OzarksAtLarge.com
sure.
to this interview?
That would be wonderful.
Excuse me, Ken. Now, if people, if they're not buying Super Bowl food this week and they voted, what else can they can make donations, financial or otherwise, at the food bank as well?
Yes, you can go onto our website, which is nwafoodbank.org, and right on the front page is a donate button, and you can donate online that way, or you can mail a check into the food bank, or you can come by and make a donation as well. You can drop off food or monetary donations. And then also, just to mention, on our website, the homepage has a link to the ESPN voting too, so you can go on there if you need the link too.
One stop.
Mm-hmm. One stop shop.
Melissa, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Melissa Vest is the Director of Development at the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank. It is Friday, January 25th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellen.
I'm Antoinette Grada.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
So what makes me happier than talking about a great play?
Talking about several great plays?
Exactly.
Ta-da.
Well done.
She's
well done.
Very good.
I know you.
And today we get to talk about the Rogers Little Theater season. It's like Christmas in January.
Announced last night, I believe.
Announced last night, season 28. Gosh, I remember when they were babies. Okay. Doing some amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
Opening with The Wizard of Oz.
That's mm-hmm. pretty cool right there.
Which means figuring out how to fly in the
oh.
Victory Theater, which will be interesting. The last time they really flew anybody was Katie Church and Peter Pan, and that was still at the high school.
Mm.
So that'll be interesting.
So they'd want to fly monkeys.
Of course.
Yeah.
Don't Dress for Dinner. This is a French farce written by the writer who wrote Boeing Boeing.
Oh, okay.
And the plot is that Bernard's planning a romantic weekend with his Parisian mistress. And what could go wrong? That's in September.
Oh, those French.
Fully Committed. You may remember this show.
Didn't Justin Schauer do it?
He
yes.
did. He did. She's on today.
I'm on this.
Fire.
One actor, 40 characters. He's taking reservations at Manhattan's #1 restaurant.
Yes, yes.
I'd love to see them get Justin to do it, but that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. That will happen in December, followed by, everybody please hang on to whatever you're sitting on driving in, Les Miserables.
On stage at RLT.
Yes.
They're going to have things fall down and collapse.
Oh, yes. Holy They're going
cow.
To do.
That's great.
I don't know if they can manage to make a revolve, but it will be amazing because they've done Hairspray. They've done all sorts. We did Evita years ago. Mm. It'll be wonderful. I stage managed that. I still have nightmares. Hmm. Don't ask. That's February 14th.
And we're talking 2014 now.
Correct.
Right, right.
This is next season.
Correct. They're doing The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Gentleman comes to dinner, slips on the doorstep, breaks his hip, and doesn't ever leave.
Ever.
Ever. Should be really fun. Mm-hmm. That's next March. Okay. Crimes of the Heart. Mm-hmm. Should also be fun next May. And a play I really love that hasn't been done here for a while, Wait Until Dark.
Oh.
I don't know this one.
Just watched that movie again with Audrey Hepburn.
Woman's blind.
Uh-huh.
She gets into a mess with a con man and two ex-convicts, and she figures out the only way she can get out of this is to wait until dark when they're all on a level playing field.
And then things kind of go back and forth. She has the upper hand.
Hmm.
The thugs have the upper hand. She gets it back. They get it back.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
It is. It is a sit on the edge of your seat sort
okay.
of play.
Alan Arkin was in the movie, a young Alan Arkin.
Oh, really?
Nominated for an Oscar for his portrayal. Very good.
And that happens next June, June 2014. Okay. And they wrap up the season for 2013-2014 with Xanadu.
I don't know this one.
The movie's
in it? Yeah, like the movie.
Like with roller skating?
Yes.
And disco?
I want to roller skate.
Yes. It'll be fun.
I didn't know there was a stage version of Xanadu.
There is. And apparently it's been, I believe it's been off Broadway.
Oh, really?
Recently or on Broadway.
So is it camp? Is it tongue
yeah,
in cheek?
Yeah, it's camp.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Songs like Magic, I'm Alive, Evil Woman, Have You Never Been Mellow. It'll be fun. And that happens next July.
That movie had Olivia Newton-John and Gene Kelly. Odd pairing.
That is an odd pairing.
Yes, it is.
Huh. He knows everything.
Oh,
he's,
I know.
He's the Kyle Kellums.
Uh-huh.
And then a quick look at this weekend.
Okay.
Sona presents Masterworks 2.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, one night only, 7:30.
Kyle, you'll be there?
I will. Paul Haas and I will have a conversation around 6:45 in Star Theater.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's $28 to $48 or $10 for college students. The Fort Smith Symphony is also in concert Saturday evening.
That's right.
With a program called Evening Serenade. Handel's Water Music, Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto No. 2 in D minor, and Brahms Serenade No. 1, Opus 11 in D major.
And then APO is next weekend.
And APO is next weekend.
Embarrassment of Riches. Mm-hmm.
That should give you a few things to do while you contemplate all of the other season announcements we'll be having soon.
Yeah, they're going to start rolling out mm-hmm. left and right.
It'll be fun.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hello, this is Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz on Friday and Saturday nights beginning at 10 p.m. This Friday, I will feature some great music from Duke Ellington, Duke Ellington with Coleman Hawkins and Duke Ellington with John Coltrane. We'll also hear from Kenny Barron, Kevin Mahogany, Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, and much more. That's the Friday edition of Shades of Jazz at 10 p.m.
The second week of the 89th General Assembly was a relatively quiet time. It's expected that next week there will be far more activity and many proposed pieces of legislation will begin their runs through the House and Senate. Late yesterday, after business had been completed at the state capitol, Representative Charlie Collins, a Republican from Fayetteville, sat down with Roby Rock from our content partner Talk Business to discuss tax policy.
Charlie Collins is the chair of the House Revenue and Tax Committee, and he says he's already seen several drafts of bills dealing with potential tax policy changes. Roby asked Representative Collins about what we might expect over the next several weeks in Little Rock when it comes to Arkansas's tax future.
Let's talk about a little bit of what's going to happen in revenue and tax this year. Speaker Carter told us at the very end of the week in his press conference that a lot of discussions going on about tax reform. He would maybe rather see some action happen later than sooner because it's going to impact the budget so much. Where do things kind of stand right now?
Well, I think there are many pieces to the puzzle, and you're right. I think Speaker Carter is focused on the whole animal, and I think that's a smart way to go. So, number one, we need to make sure that we've got a plan for a balanced budget. Number two, we've got to make sure we've got a plan that takes care of the neediest among us. So we've got Medicaid shortfall. We've got education adequacy to consider, and there's some other spending priorities that people have. But once we get a beat on those things and understand what the money flows look like, and the good news is we're seeing money flows that are probably a little bit better than people might have thought 6 months ago or 9 months ago, then we've got to get down to, okay, how do we help working people in Arkansas? And as you mentioned, as the chair of the tax committee, what I'm seeing are lots and lots of proposals and suggestions. And a lot of them basically start off like this. Arkansas is the only state or one of few states, or Arkansas is a state that has the highest tax rate on fill in the blank. So what we need to do is, you know, for this group or that type of business or whatever, reduce that burden so that we can be more competitive with states around us.
But you cannot be everything to everyone. I mean, you're not going to be able to address all of those concerns that everybody has of wanting to be number one or outpacing some other states. So where's the balance going to come from?
That's exactly right. It would be great because almost all of these are wonderful ideas and would help us in important ways and help meet the needs of important constituents and people here in Arkansas. But as you said, we can't do everything right away. So I think there are three different groups that are looking closely at all of these considerations. Obviously, you've got the House and the Tax Committee in the House. You've got the Senate and the Tax Committee in the Senate. Obviously, you've got the governor and a lot of folks in the executive branch. And so I think all three of those groups are going to be bringing some different perspectives. And what I'd like to see is for us to be able to sit down and talk through those priorities and make some decisions together about what the best steps are for Arkansas in 2013-2014.
You've had some strong opinions on tax reform, particularly individual income tax reform in this state. Are you going to be pushing that agenda as chairman? Are you going to have a little bit more open-minded, wait and see, let's get it all in here kind of approach?
Yes, great point. And I like to think of myself as an open-minded person, but it didn't just start when I became chairman. I actually began running for office several years ago in 2010. And one of the big reasons is because I think we need to do some things to help turn our state into a good jobs magnet. And as I analyzed our tax situation back then, one of the things that really jumped up me was how tough we are in terms of taxes on working folks. So you're right, I've been a person that's talked a lot about that over the years. The Republicans in the House have spent a lot of time doing some analysis, and as you know, we've come up with our simple plan as some ideas to help move the state forward in a good way. And an income tax is one of those that's part of the Republican House group's thinking.
Is the crux of that plan to change a middle income tax bracket to where it gives some tax relief to some middle income Arkansans?
Yeah, I think the way that we've thought about it, Roby, is everybody that works or provides jobs has as perhaps their greatest business expense actual labor costs, especially as you start thinking about businesses in the 21st century where labor is an even more important part of the business operation. So whether you're a higher income worker, a middle income worker, or a low income worker, improving the income tax burden by lowering it for everybody is the right direction. As part of that, I feel strongly we need to dramatically lower the burden on the lowest income workers, more modestly lower the burden on middle income workers, and then slightly lower the burden on the highest income workers and job creators. So in summary, it's lower income taxes for all, but skewing the reductions to be greater at the lower ends.
And I don't have to tell you, but you know from watching the revenue picture and what comes through on the monthly budget reports that individual income tax collections are about 45-47% of the total tax collections for the state. You start skewing those numbers dramatically or even incrementally, and you change the revenue picture for the state of Arkansas. How do you accommodate that shift in income tax reform that you're advocating without harming some of the essential services such as public education and Medicaid?
Right. So number one, as we started, we need to look at the money flows into the state treasury. We need to look at the balanced budget. We need to look at the least of these, people on Medicaid, education adequacy, and other key priorities. We need to make sure that we've got those taken care of and overall not cut the budget. We can do this by slowing the growth of spending versus our historic norms. So if you look back in Arkansas over a period of 10 or 20 or 30 years, what you'll see is while any one year may see an increase of a small percentage or even a decrease, I think, in one or two of the years during the deep recession, over a long period of time in Arkansas, we tend to expand government spending at about twice the rate of economic growth in our state. So what that does and what that has meant over the decades is that the size of state government has grabbed a larger and larger portion of our entire economy. So we can provide good income tax relief and also meet the needs of some of these other tax problems and opportunities that we've got while meeting a balanced budget, while not cutting spending, but merely slowing the growth.
You think that the math will work, that you can provide income tax relief and it will be tied to slowing government growth in terms of spending, not necessarily cutting government spending?
Yes.
I'll be looking forward to those numbers. When do you think you'll have those projections?
Well, again, I think the projections are not so difficult to come up with, and I've got things I'm happy to walk through with people. I shared some of it back in Fayetteville. John Brummett came and we had a deep discussion about these things in public, and I walked through one potential plan with him literally for anyone to hear and see, and I'm happy to do that with other folks. That doesn't mean that plan is somehow magical, but the benefit we've got, Roby, is time. So if someone were to say, gosh, the states around us generally tax middle-income workers in the 4-5% range, but here in Arkansas, we're at 7%, and what we want to do is get a lot closer to that median range, then over a period of steps, we can do that without cutting government spending, but by using the growth in revenues over a period of years and do it in a relatively evolutionary process that also happens in a relatively short period of time.
Representative Charlie Collins is a Republican from Fayetteville and is the chair of the House Revenue and Tax Committee. He talked to Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business. You can see and hear more from that conversation at talkbusiness.net. Support for talkbusiness.net on Ozarks at Large provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com. A partnership between Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art and the Special Collections Department of the University of Arkansas Libraries has resulted in a new digital collection featuring one of Arkansas's most tasty products. Ozarks at-largest Timothy Dennis has more.
Timothy Nutt is the head of the Special Collections Department at the University of Arkansas Library. He says that the idea of a collaboration between the department and Crystal Bridges started even before the museum was open.
We sort of batted around the idea of what we could do, and actually we talked about grapes, and we talked about oranges, and we talked about peaches, but we finally settled on apples simply because of the apple industry in northwest Arkansas and how it was so big in the 1920s, 1930s, early part of the 1900s, and, you know, how much times have changed, and you don't really think of northwest Arkansas as being the apple center of Arkansas anymore. You know, you still have Lincoln and the Apple Festival over there, but the impact of the apple in northwest Arkansas has declined dramatically.
Catherine Peterson is the director of the library at Crystal Bridges. She says that one distinct advantage of the collaboration between the museum and university is the ability to make more items available for public consumption.
We knew we wanted to do something special. The rare book collection at the museum library is one that really cannot be handled by lots of people because these materials are rare and they're somewhat fragile. Many of them are. If you think about them being carried around by salesmen, many of them are not in that great of shape. So we want to make them as widely visible as possible. And so digitizing those seed catalogs, which in terms of 19th century American color plate books, are some of the few color plate books that are not already digitized online.
The collection dates from between 1851 and 1922 and includes 69 different items. But the star of the exhibit is a collection of color plate seed catalogs and albums that were used by salesmen trying to cash in on a burgeoning orchard industry in Arkansas.
They include not only apples, but they also include pears and fruits and seeds for flowers and shrubs and bushes. So we were pulling out for this collection just the apple feature because of its unique history in Arkansas. And then, of course, after meeting several times with the university, a special collections group that was in on the project, we realized that, you know, they had also a really wonderful collection that told this story of apples in Arkansas.
Although the exhibit prominently features the color plate prints, Nutt says that the collection is full of other apple-centric items as well.
We supplemented those botanical prints with images from our collection. So there are images of apple trees. There are a couple of documents. I think there's a speech by Dr. Roy Rome, who's considered Mr. Apple in northwest Arkansas. And so there was a speech he made about the history of the apple industry in Arkansas.
But he says that history is only one theme presented by the collection.
One of the themes that we wanted to come across in the collection was not only the history of the apple industry in northwest Arkansas, but also the beauty of the botanical prints that are used in the collection. Just what went into the showing of these prints to farmers so they could see what the apples would look like at bloom season.
But if there is one image that sums up the collection, Peterson says that it is the broadside that serves as more than just a piece in the collection.
It really tells the story in such few short words. Arkansas, the land of many orchards, big crops, and profits. And that's where we got the title from, too, was this really wonderful color plate broadside. Another favorite is the Child's Rare Flowers Nursery magazine from 1896. And the magazine includes these wonderfully bright images appealing in both quality of color and how they've been preserved so beautifully.
Nutt says that the collection has so many interesting pieces that it's difficult for him to choose a favorite.
Of course, the botanical prints from the library at Crystal Bridges, they're just so beautiful, and those are really nice and interesting to look at. But there are also images from Special Collections, our materials here in Special Collections, photographs that show the apple industry and in various aspects of the apple industry. But one image from Special Collections materials that comes to mind is an image of apple blossoms. And that's the image that sort of sticks in my mind when I think of this collection. But it's hard to choose just one favorite image or one favorite illustration from the digital collection, because I just think all of them are just amazing.
If you would like to see the collection, it is available to the public online at the University Library's Special Collections website. We have a link to that site on our own website, ozarksatlarge.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
This is Ozarks at Large. Before we close this week, a little bit of music recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. A week ago today, Threepenny Acre, that's Bernice Hembree, Baird Blaine, and Brian Hembree, came to KUAF to talk with Mike Shirky for Mike's show, The Pick and Post, that's heard every Saturday night at 7 on KUAF.
The conversation and the handful of songs the band played inside Furman Garner was on last week's show. In case you missed it, here's one song and the explanation of how the tune came to be. It's called Slim Was a Teamster and will be included on the next Threepenny Acre CD this spring.
The origins come from Brian. It is a song about his grandpa, which was a man that was near and dear to his heart. And he was a truck driver for 30-plus years with Safeway. So he hauled groceries his whole life. And he was an important man in Brian's life. And that song just came out. I love the story you say about at his funeral. There was the line about Slim was a Teamster. Yeah. That was said, and it really resonated with Brian, and he just kept repeating that to himself. Slim was a Teamster. And it evolved into this kind of honor of him in this song.
I remember it was, you know, the preacher's reading all the things that, you know, happened in his life, you know. Slim was an army man, Slim was a Teamster, and I just thought, wow, that sounds really cool. His name was Clem. His name was Clem Thales Raider, Thales or Thales, depending on how you pronounce it, but he was 6'6", and so everyone called him Slim, real tall.
Real tall and skinny.
He kind of gave me my music prowess. His two favorite artists were Chuck Berry and then Bob Wills. So that kind of defines my interest in music.
One, two, Slim. Thank you.
Three Penny Acre, recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio this month for an edition of The Pick and Post with Mike Shirky. That edition of Pick and Post aired last weekend, but you can hear The Pick and Post with Mike every Saturday night at 7 on KUAF.
The song is titled Slim Was a Teamster, and it will be on the next Three Penny Acre CD this spring. Three Penny Acre is Brian Hembry, Baird Blaine, and Bernice Hembry. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Appleby.
Not your neighborhood bar and grill. Where is Appleby?
It's south of Farmington.
Really?
Just south of Farmington.
Huh.
Yep.
I bet that dates back to the days when apples were
probably
king. A reminder that the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas concert, SONA, Saturday night, will begin at 7:30 at Walton Arts Center. If you're going, thinking about going, a little bit earlier at 6:45, I'll have a conversation with Paul Haas inside Star Theater about the performances, the music that's been selected for Saturday night's program. That's free with the ticket.
Is the show sold out?
I don't know if it's sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets were moving.
Right.
But I don't know if it's sold out.
And they can find out more at waltonartcenter.org?
I would go there, yes.
Yes, perfect.
Yes, and it will tell you if it's sold out.
Perfect. Weekend.
Yes. Yes. Not a long one. No holiday at the end of this one.
Sad. I'm so confused by this.
I'm going to rest if I can for the most part because I have my 7th head cold of the year.
7th since January?
Well, no, but of the season.
Sure.
I don't know.
Just take some vitamin C and
that's what I'm doing.
Rest up.
That's what I'm doing.
It's a good plan. I approve.
Christina and I will be together Sunday morning for Weekend Ozarks at Large, and you'll be back here Monday.
Yep, I'll be back Monday by myself, and
that's
you'll
right.
be back with me on Tuesday.
That's right. And keep listening. More live music will be coming up on Ozarks at Large over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we had a band in here yesterday, Little Chief.
For University of Arkansas students.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun having
them
in.
They were a lot of fun.
They did three songs and either next week or the week after.
Sure.
We'll have it on the air.
Yes. They won a contest so they could record an EP, and they're working on getting that out in February, about mid-February, I think.
That's
is
right.
what they're shooting for.
Hey, you know what? I had an epiphany.
Yes.
I don't have much time to tell you this, but I realized this is usually my least favorite time of year because it's not yet baseball season. The holidays are over.
Sure.
But this is the season of Thin Mints and Conversation Hearts, the two best candies on the planet. So that's what gets me through.
Right. Of course, Thin Mints through the Girl Scouts.
Right.
So if you know a Girl Scout, I know I've heard that time period is closing soon.
It
so
is.
Find your local Girl Scouts.
That's right.
If you want some of the cookies.
That's right. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.